Hi, everybody. Welcome to Queers and Soaps. I'm Tommy, and tonight I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Dana. I almost said my lovely Dana.
We made it on. We're on.
We are back with our usual weekly Dawson's Creek recap. This week we're covering season 2, episodes 7 through 9. So I will roll the credits and we'll get right into it. Success.
Yes. I always do a little dance.
So do I. I'm always like,
and I'm like, I'm so catchy.
So episode 7 is titled The All-Nighter. It's kind of a filler episode. It doesn't really advance the plot too much, but it's an episode I always remember, and it's kind of one of my favorites. So our core group has to cram for this English exam that's coming up, and that teacher was a dick. He does not like children. Well,
in the post-COVID era that we live in, him just like wiping his nose and like sneezing across everyone gave me like literal like, oh my god. And nobody respects him either as a teacher. They're kind of just doing whatever they want.
He sets up an after-school study session, which he then ends up canceling because he's too sick. But he says the test will go on and they better be prepared. So there's this new guy that we've never seen, but he's apparently a student at the school. played by Jason Bear. I think it's Jason Bear. He was from Roswell. Did you ever watch Roswell?
I thought I recognized him because I was like, he looked really familiar, and I feel like I've seen him in another show, probably on the same channel that this was on, like at some other point later on.
He was in Buffy. He was in an episode of Buffy.
Okay, so that's probably also where I know him from. But when you say Roswell, it like completely clicks. I was like, yes, that's exactly because you see the promos and everything. I've never watched Roswell though.
Yeah, he was the lead. He was Max, the lead actor on the show. But he's kind of like a popular troublemaker, student. So he invites the crowd. Minus Abby. I was actually surprised Abby wasn't involved in this.
I'm because she's awful.
It was nice to have a break from her because she's been a lot this season.
She just really drained down.
But he's like hardcore flirting with Jen throughout this whole episode.
For sure. He's just one thing in mind.
And Jen's kind of like on this like self-destructive spiral right now, but I feel like it's less toxic with Abby not in the picture. I almost feel like she's aware of what she's doing and she's doing it because she wants to do it. And for me, I feel like empowerment and like, do what you want to do, girl.
Yeah, she's like, I'm consenting. I'm ready for whatever's happening to me. I don't care. And even though it is very destructive, like she's putting herself in crazy dangerous situations, like getting blackout drunk for like no reason, not for like no reason, but like dangerous levels where you can't be together like at all. Like you're not thinking and it's not cool.
So this guy, I think his name is Chris. Apparently he's wealthy. His family has money. He has a huge house. So they all go to his house just to cram. He has a hot tub, a pool table room, and a little sister that has a little crush on Dawson.
She was a creepy little girl. I thought she was kind of scary how she kept like popping up throughout the episode and like weirdly like blackmailing Dawson like from the jump. Like trying to be too perverse in a situation. And I'm like, oh my God, this little girl's too much. She's doing too much.
Andy invites Joey, but Joey doesn't know Dawson's going. So this is like the first time they are being pushed together in a close environment since they broke up.
I didn't. They're doing that thing where like they don't look at each other or like just like catch eyes and they just put this like nonstop.
Right.
I don't know how Joe in the beginning, like right before they go to the house, like Joey like kind of accosted Dawson in front of his locker, kind of saying like, "Are we gonna talk? Like, you're gonna just ignore me like the whole time?" Uh-huh. And Dawson's like, "You said to give you space." And it's like typical Dawson.
Like you're just being a dick right now.
Like you have to take what she said and try to turn it into like a barb against her when like all she's trying to do is like be as mature as 16-year-olds who broke up after having the first love can be. You know, it is awkward though. They're awkward.
Yeah. So Andy has this magazine. I'm assuming it's almost like Cosmo or something that has like one of those tests, like how pure are you? So it's like 100 questions, sexual questions. So they all decide to take a break from studying and they each take turns reading a question and they have a sheet where they put their answers on. And Pacey gets a little jarred because I think the question was, have you ever been with someone older?
I think, I don't know, did it get specific? Like, have you been with anyone that's, like, significantly older than you or whatever? Because, like, older could be, like, a year older, 6 months older.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact, like, semantics of the question. But
I thought they specified it to make it very poignant to Casey, to Pacey's situation. Like, it's almost like, did you have sex with a teacher?
Yeah, it's... It was probably worded in such a way that you would think tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. Because, like, Chris is, like, immediately, like, hey, Daisy.
Yeah.
Calling him out. Like, not a good brother, man. I mean, like, geez.
Pacey had a joke. He was like, why do I get all the animal questions? Because there was, like, farm animals and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're all kind of kinky and funny. And of course, Joey's gets the 100th question and it's the, have you ever been in love? And so she has to like, look away from Dawson. So Chris, I think, gets his hands on the answers and he basically says to Pacey, you know, put an old school rumor to rest. He's like, did you really sleep with Miss Jacobs? And then Andy's like, Miss Jacobs? She's like, wait, I met somebody named Miss Jacobs. She's like, wait.
Yeah.
And she gets two and two together. She's like, wait a minute.
And she storms off. As Andy be doing, she just runs away.
Yeah.
Goes sit somewhere. Like in a tough, but I feel like Chris called him out. Like that's not like, hey man, come on. That's Pacey's business. You don't need to be calling people out at a party. This is the break and the rob, dude.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jen and Chris are flirting. They have a few drinks. They're in the hot tub. She's kind of making it known that she knows what he's all about and she doesn't have any expectations. I mean, he's being upfront with her and she's, for what it seems, being upfront with him.
The whole thing felt very like everybody's aware what we're doing here. I think she thought maybe that there was a little bit more than what he was thinking. Like, I think they were gonna, she thought maybe they'd be a little bit different type of relationship, but
It must have been in the hot tub because they don't show them actually in the bedroom until they wake up the next day. But he literally flat out asked for consent. He was like, is this okay? And she said, yeah. I was like, I like this. I was like, you know, they're underage and they're drinking, but like, we're doing consent.
Yeah.
Like, we're two consenting minors.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're trying to set it up in a way, like, with stuff that, like, as if it's not. And I thought that Jen had it under control. Like, they didn't.
I did too.
She was drinking wine, but at the same time, like, she didn't seem, at least Michelle Williams didn't play it like a drunk teen being taken advantage of by some boy in a jacuzzi. Yeah. She's right. Like, I'm here. I'm like, you know, what if I didn't want to? And he was like, that's fine. But like, I'm looking to have some fun, and this is how I have fun. Are you willing to have fun with me? It's basically the biggest way to say, like, like, you know, no strings attached, you know. But I think that she thought there was, like, going to be a string, like a singular string. And there's, like, no strings.
Or that maybe after they got a little intimate, he be smitten with her, and he was just like, thank you.
Yeah. Exactly. And it was like, wow, man, I took a shower. You could take your time, all good. And I'm like, have a great, it was a great time. Bye. See you. Slut. High five. Like, you know?
Also, there was multiple condom wrappers open. I was like, damn, they went all night.
Well, you know, teenagers, they're young. They're supposed to be young people. That have
Jen, are you energy. Sure? Like, damn.
Well, it was nice to see that they made it a point to say it was safe and consensual sex between teens. And
between minors.
And I appreciate that, considering they had friggin' like adults so far going after and like weird, emotionally weird relationships, which is, I feel, is pretty cool for teenagers. Like, it's so intense and then just drops right off like immediately afterwards. But yeah, this felt normal.
So Chris's sister gets a hold of Joey's test, and she's trying to bribe Dawson for a kiss, and he kind of like flips out on her. First she tells him that she's been in love twice, and that makes him have a meltdown because he's like, who else does she love besides me? Like, totally self-centered. And then I'm like, here we go. Did he not learn anything from the diary situation? Stop reading her stuff.
Never has. No.
And that was even brought up in their argument, the diary situation.
Yeah. She called it right out. It's just like, now it's a string of things. But yeah, this whole episode, Dawson is on a mission to like save Jen's purity. And also like avoid Joey, but then can't because she's like literally everywhere he goes. Mm-hmm. You ever notice like every time Joey's also in the room? Like if he tries to leave and then there, she just happens to walk in again. He can't get around it. Right. And then it's just, and then he's got this little girl. Honestly, I would have flipped out on her too. Because that little girl, she was kind of bad
timing. It was bad timing. He was dealing with his emotions with his ex-girlfriend. Yeah. And this little girl's like coming on to him. He's just like, get away from me.
He was like taunting him when he felt like the worst he could feel at that time. And he's also a child, older child, but a child nonetheless.
Right.
He has I totally don't him. I was like, yeah, yell at that kid. That kid's crazy. Like, she needs to talk.
There was a scene with Joey and Jen, I think, in this episode. Where Jen says that she's sorry about them breaking up. She's like, I know that you probably don't believe that. And Joey at first is like, yeah, I don't. But then she like kind of reins it in. And then they have a moment and they're just kind of sitting there, like, and Jen's just kind of like being there, like standing next to her, like, I guess for comfort or whatever. And I was like, there's my girls. I was like, there they are, they're back.
Well, like, I mean, it's crazy to me that Jen like understand how Joey could be a little apprehensive of her, because literally while they first got together, Jen was trying to be up on Dawson like immediately. So it's kind of like she don't know where any loyalty between the two of them lies. So it's like, I got, when Joey said that, I was like, yes, queen, tell her, because she tell her, Joey. Like, I love how Joey was like, no, I'm not playing games with you. And but then opens up and I still have hope. I have hope. This rekindled my flame.
Pacey and Andy, that's her name, right? Andy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makeup. He basically explains that there was real feelings involved and he's a screw up and he's a guy and he's like, They were cute. Then he tries to like help them cram. He has like this whole system, which is interesting because he's doing the worst in school, apparently, academically.
Right. Well, he uses his ultimate slacker capabilities to help them cram in the last like 4 hours from 6 a.m., I guess, until what, 4 hours from there?
Yeah, because they were like, 10. We have 4 hours. I was like, first of all, the sun is out. I'm like, what time do you guys start school?
And honestly, that whole montage, I wrote down in my notes, I'm like, they're doing a hell of a lot in 3 hours. Oh, right. Yeah, no, 3 hours. And 9 a.m. I was like, they're doing a lot of stuff in 3 hours. That's like way too many things to be doing.
Right. So they finish cramming, and Pacey's like, I got one more group activity, and they all like go running for the pool, and they dive in the pool with their clothes on. It's a nice bonding moment, I guess. There was a really cute scene with Andy and Pacey where she's just like, I think she said, I hate to love you. And he's like, I hate to love you too. So it was cute. And then they kiss.
I really do. Okay. This like trifecta of episodes is like puts Pacey on like this perfect. He's like, I'm a great character. I have so much depth and and this is a perfect example of that. Like, he's just so tender with her that it's just makes you go, oh, I no wonder Ray probably went crazy for Joshua Jackson. After like, I mean, yeah, he's amazing.
So I don't know if you know this, but apparently Katie Holmes and Joshua Jackson dated during the show.
Okay.
I don't know when. I don't know if it was the beginning of the show or if it was somewhere in the middle, because I do know around 2001 she was dating Chris Klein from the American Pie movies.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure when they dated, but they did apparently at some point.
I mean, Joshua Jackson got around. I mean, it was so funny because when I thought that one woman is Rosario Dawson, but then I found out she was from Bones. Rosario Dawson apparently was currently dating Joshua Jackson. I'm like, ah! I was like, the worlds are colliding. What a weird coincidence.
So while Joey's waiting for her clothes to dry in the dryer, she gives Dawson an answer that he doesn't deserve of who she loved besides him, and it's him. It's like she fell in love with him when he was her best friend, and she fell in love with him again when he became her boyfriend. I'm like, okay. Yeah. You're so deep, Joey. Thanks.
You know, it's just kind of one of those situations where, like, you thought, she was going to have, like, it was like my one sister's friend from like when I was a kid, like, or something dumb like that, like something real. But I was hoping that it was not gonna be Dawson twice. It felt right. So like, should have went to France, girl. That's what I keep saying too. I was like, if you went to France, we wouldn't be where we are.
He even brought up Jack because he was like, he just wanted to know that it wasn't Jack, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. Keep being warm, because I totally understand how Dawson feels, because he's such a young boy. And like, being heartbroken the first time is like literally the worst feeling ever in the whole world. And it makes you act so insane.
But it actually already just reminded me of what Jen said in the first episode of the season when she said, mm-hmm. Could you do me a favor and not jump Joey's bones right away? Because I think that might send me to razor blades.
Yeah. Oh my god. Could you imagine, like, if that happened?
Yeah.
It's just like killing me. And I just kind of think in like stuff, like, it is so awkward. I mean, like, they did really portray like that first meeting, like after breaking up, how it's so like, oh god, you want to die.
Mm-hmm.
I felt cringe like the whole episode, like, oh, this sucks. Except for Jen like, hell yeah, I'm here.
I forgot to mention at the beginning of the episode we opened in Dawson's room and he was actually watching a movie with his mom, who was like crying because she's like heartbroken over Mitch leaving.
I actually love their little opening scene. That's like one of my favorites so far, because it's kind of like it felt very heartwarming, because she was just like telling him, like, listen, you have like levels of power for being the dumpy. Like, you can be absolutely, I love that speech about like you could be unhinged. I think she said this like amazing truth. I wrote it down on the notes, was just that, like, because I think he said he's like, so it doesn't get better. She's like, it doesn't get better. You just go to bed sooner, like earlier in the night. Oh, man. You got me. You got me, girl. Like, you found me. I'm right there. It was perfect. Like, that is the best opening ever. She's, you know, just being there as a good mom. It was really nice.
So back to the end. They all go to the school. Dawson ended up kissing the girl on her head when she was fake sleeping. Well, she was asleep, but she must have been half awake, because she like smiled after he kissed her forehead. So they go to the school, and the teacher apparently is so sick he can't come in for the exam. And I'm like, and he was nasty in that letter too. And I'm like, did you come to school sick just to post that letter? Or did you, like, have somebody take dictation and, like, write your nastiness on this letter and then post it on your door?
Oh, man. It kind of gave me PTSD from, like, college. That never happened in high school. If there wasn't a teacher, it would be a substitute teacher. Mm-hmm. There's no way you're not going to class. You're going to be there one way or the other. Yeah. But college, professors used to do that shit all the time. Mm-hmm. They'd just be like, you come to class, better be there. If you're 1 minute late, I'm locking the door. I don't care. Like, I'm never let you in. And then you'll show up, and it'll be like 20 minutes in. Okay, we'll show up and be like, oh, yeah, they're sick or whatever. And it's like, do I get my $1,000 at least? Because I'm missing this. Right.
And they all end up on the football field sleeping because they were up all night.
That again, I don't have a reference for that. Like, could you just sleep on the field?
I mean, I guess if you were exhausted, you could sleep anywhere, but I was like, I couldn't sleep comfortably on that. Maybe at 16 I could have.
Yeah.
But now I get like neck aches, I need at least one pillow.
Right? I mean genuinely, right. She was like on her side. I was like, yeah, that'd be me. But still, grass. I'm such an adult. I'm really like creeping to middle-aged womanhood when I'm laying on grass. Oh my god! Like wet jeans.
And you're totally like relating to Gail. You're like, yeah, Gail.
That's not Gail. Gail, like. I'm a really old woman.
So that was pretty much it for that episode. Did I forget anything?
I don't think so. I mean, like, I really didn't understand Dawson's hero complex with Jen and Chris, like, intervening. He would just, like, he talked to Jen. He talked to Chris. And then Chris, and he had to tell Jen, Chris has designs on you to have sex. And Jen's like, yeah, I know. Like, what?
Why? She's like, hello. I've been fucking since I was 12. Like, got caught in my parents' bedroom. Yeah. Boyfriend. Billy, you met him, remember?
Remember when you called me a slut? Like, hi. Yeah, I'm still the same person. Like, okay. Hi, my name's Jen. Nice to meet you. I'm Jen. Dawson, Jen. Jen, Dawson. It's just like that stuff was just kind of like classic Dawson moves. Like,
yeah.
The whole idea that he has to save someone. I think Pacey called him out too. And he was like, listen, not everybody needs, you know, you don't need to be like hawkish over everybody. Just deal with your own shit. And that's kind of, you know, really was the lesson of that story for sure.
So episode 8 is titled The Reluctant Hero. And we open with Dawson and Pacey watching a movie, and Pacey's ragging on his choice of movies. And then we see a junk friend climbing up Joey's ladder into his window. She's not going to Graham's. She's just going to pass out at Dawson's.
Seriously. Like, this girl, I swear, like, I did have a couple moments where I was just like, listen, this girl do whatever she wants, but at the same time, they walking into your window, that's when you can have a talk.
I mean, he mentioned a lot of talk. Like, he mentioned it was like the third time that week.
Yeah.
She feels like she's gonna like throw up, and he like gets the can, and she's just like, it's just like false alarm.
Exactly.
I was waiting for him to take the can away and for her to just like throw up on him or something.
That, you know what? I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is gonna be a gag where she goes for the can and says, oh, never mind, I'm fine. And then immediately yaks all over like Dawson's bed. That's what I thought was gonna happen.
Right.
And I would hate that. I'd be so mad at her. I'd be like, Geralt, get the fuck out of my room. Oh, I'll kill ya.
So Mitch has his own place now. Like, we saw he had a place before. I think before it looked like he was staying at a motel. But now I'm looking at the space that he's in, and I'm like, did he take that warehouse that he was going to buy from Tamara and turn it into, like, a studio apartment for him? Because it looked warehousey, the way it was set up.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I thought maybe also that it maybe might be one of those, like, business on the bottom living
quarters maybe.
The top. Mm-hmm. Type situation. Yeah, and Mitch is like trying real hard.
He's telling Dawson he wants to be his friend, and Dawson's like not having it. He's like, I don't need a friend. He's like, I need a father.
Yeah.
I was like,
he's still 16. You know what I mean? Little kid. So Mitch shouldn't be trying to be his friend. Like, just like Mitch. Deal with your own shit, dude. Stop trying to, like, I don't know. Like, their whole interaction felt very weird to me because it felt like something that, like, Mitch was just trying to, like, I don't know. He felt insecure. Mitch felt insecure about the relationship.
Pacey's doing terrible in school. He's meeting with a counselor. They're basically like, you need summer school. They're like, you do bad on standardized tests. So he talks to Andy. I can't like remember Andy's name tonight. I keep forgetting. he talks to Andy about it, and she basically hypes him up and tells him he can be whatever he wants to be. Heroes are born to lead. She's like, I'm gonna tutor you, and
that's right. Supportive girlfriend. She's a supportive queen. She loves to make her king. Super self-confident. She doesn't take none of that shit. Self-harm talk. Pacey, which I love. The counselor, though, said something real I thought was hysterical to Pacey. And he's just like, it's crazy because, like, by the look at your scores, that, like, you shouldn't be able to walk upright.
Right.
It's like, this is so goddamn funny. Oh, my God. I love it.
There was another line he had. He's like, I didn't know it was possible to fail
An aptitude test.
Yes.
it kind of shows that the counselor like knows like Pacey is really phoning it in on purpose.
Yeah.
That like you have to actively fail this aptitude test in order to like.
He probably just didn't fill anything out and he failed.
Yeah, exactly. Or didn't show up or something.
Like, even the SATs, like, you get like a few hundred points just for writing your name.
And like, you know, the whole thing is that like for some reason Pacey feels like he gets more attention by failing than succeeding, and right. That's kind of why,
and that's rooted in home, also, because at home they treat him like shit, so he just acts out because
that's right. Really
gets a reaction out of them.
And the poor thing, he can't like get it. He's like, I don't know, like one of the best, like another touching moment where we get like how wonderful Pacey is. Like, I don't know how to start. Like, how do I start being better? Like,
right.
You know, and it was
just, and Andy was like, you have to start from within. And I'm like, be more specific. Yeah. I'm like, I don't even understand how you start that.
Right. And, I mean, like, Andy does the thing that most people do. They kind of like do the force positivity thing, that like if you think positive thoughts, like be happy, and that's not always true for everyone, but like I think I just love a girl who will be supportive of someone she cares about. Like, I like Andy a lot. She's a go-getter, and I think she's great for Pacey because she gasses him up. He needs gassing. The boy's running on empty from like literally everyone in his life, so he needs someone like Andy that can be like, you got this. You can make this happen. I believe in you.
Even though I feel like we're now two episodes away from the dance. Apparently, this is the first time that Joey and Jack are interacting since the dance. And so they have, like, their first awkward, like, interaction where he's, like, you know, since the kiss, and then, like, he got punched and everything. And they get good with each other. Was this the episode that they went to another, that they went on a date?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess so. Because what happens is Dawson... See, there was like later on in that. So like he talks to her. Joe kind of goes like, "Oh, I haven't been thinking about you at all," which was kind of like, "Oh God, poor me." She's just like, "I've just been inside my head or whatever," and he kind of goes, "Oh, but so we're cool." And he's like, "Yes." And then like later on in the day, he meets up again in the cafeteria, which is like the same scene I think with Andy and. Easy.
Yeah,
and he's like laying it on because now he knows that she doesn't hate him. And yeah, he's kind of like, "You want to hang out?" And she's like,
"He called it. I think he called it a not date. We're gonna call it a not date. Not
a date without a
that."
Yeah, and I was like, so this kind of leads into a question to him on what you think, because at the end of the previous episode. The way Dawson and Joey were talking, it made it seem like we're still in love with each other. We still care about each other. We're broken up. But, like, I didn't understand, like, what the ground rules were. Are they broken up to move on? Or are we broken up to kind of find ourselves, like we said, and then get back together? So I was kind of like, how do you think they left the conversation? In what headspace do you think they were in? Because I was like, I don't understand what the ground rules are for your relationship. Can you do whatever? Are we good? Or move on?
That's interesting. I never really gave too hard a thought about it because I kind of just coasted on we're broken up, so we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
They're still obviously going to have emotional reactions to whatever the other one does.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, all the behaviors points to that, but, like, when they're talking to each other, it makes me think that, oh, I still have lots of feelings for you. And I would imagine feelings of that nature would stop me from, like, accepting a date from the guy that I kissed that broke up my relationship in a way. So it feels a little like counterintuitive to things Joey's been saying up until this point. And like, I wouldn't really blame Dawson for being kind of pissed off if like found out about that.
Well, so he got some money from his film that he made in the first season that he submitted, the horror movie. To work on another film, but since Joey doesn't, he actually asked Joey to like work on it with him. He's like, you know, in the vein of us being friends now, or like we used to be. Yeah. He's like, work on this with me. I need you. And she's like, I don't know if I have the time. She's like, I'm getting into the art now. She's like, and with school and Bessie and like everything. She's like, I don't think I have the time for it. So he actually does a nice thing, and he gives her like some of the money. He gives her like half, I think, because she helped.
Right.
So I thought that was cool. But when he came by, she was getting ready for her dad with Jack. And I was like, oh God, they're going to run into each other. And then it was going on so long, I was like, maybe they're not. But then they did.
I'm like, as she's getting dressed and he's standing in like the doorway, I love the way this show is shot. It's perfect. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, oh my God. She's getting ready for a date. She's on a date. And then when she says, oh, I'm just going out to hang out with a friend.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. That's not necessarily true. Unless that's what you think it is. And not what. Or is it Jack or Jake? I can't remember his name.
Jack.
Anyway. Jack. Poor Jack was like on date cloud 9. And then I thought the exact same thing you were thinking, like, oh, he's going to get away. She's going to be fine. And boom. Right into his ass. And I was like, ah!
And they just stare each other down. And Jack's like, hey.
Absolutely. Like, he gives it straight up. You don't even look back. Dawson even look back. It was like, again, I kind of like went, good for you, buddy. Like, I'm happy for you. Like,
and Joey, Katie Holmes conveyed an emotion that I feel like I've felt in my younger years, where you're excited to see this new person and see like what they have to offer and like how you guys connect, but you're still kind of, you care about that other person. Because she was like, she looked genuinely happy to see Jack. She's like, come inside. And then she like looked at Dawson and she just kind of looked like, I still care about you though, but like, I'm going to see what this guy has to offer.
I'll tell you what, she's kind of doing that thing where like, it's, I feel like all young people do, like kind of like what Jen does later on in the next episode. Like sometimes you do bad things because you know they're bad and you want to, like, you know, she has these moments where you can see like she was kept, like, I guess this is Katie Holmes mostly, looking for Dawson before she interacts with Jack. Like, it was a moment in the high school where she's like, he's walking away and she checks to make sure he's completely gone before she turns to Jack and starts talking. And she knows he's walking away from her house. She's kind of like, let's get inside. Yeah. I don't want you to be outside. She's walking in the door. She looks back at him. And again, I love the fact that Dawson didn't even give like an over the shoulder, nothing. Like, gives her zero eye contact on the way back. And she just looks at his butt all the way to the dock. And it's like, I think she kind of knows what she's doing. She's playing with a little fire here, but I think she's doing that thing, you know, you do when you're young and you're kind of like, I'm going to do something bad. I don't care.
Yeah. So that's when Dawson says he wants to go out partying with Jen. So they go, I don't think they went to that guy Chris's house because it didn't look like the same house, but it was another house by the water.
And Dawson, I think it was just like that friend.
I laughed because Jen's outfit, in my head, I took a note. I was like, she looks like she works an office job and she just like unbuttoned a few buttons to go out for happy hour.
It's like we had the same mind watching this episode. I felt the same thing. I was like, who wears a button down? Looking like a waitress, like a hostess at fucking
going up to happy hour after work.
She had the when I saw the butterfly clips on the side, I was like, oh my god, we're there. Oh, did she?
I didn't notice them.
She had like her and then Abby in the next episode had them like in her hair, like there were flowers. Like she had like ones in the, because her hair's so short, they do that little like twist thing and then, like pinned it back. Some of the hair in the front like kept falling forward, but I did see them. I clocked them. I was like, oh, but yeah, like when I saw her outfit for the party, I literally lost control. I was like, this is so late 90s. Early 2000s, I can't deal with it.
So she's drinking immediately. The guys like give her beer. She's dancing, having a good time. Dawson's just kind of like checking on her, making sure she's okay. Meanwhile, Pacey is studying with Andy at her house. He sees her mom, who's like gardening. And when they're studying, Andy gets a phone call. The mom must have snuck out and went to like a local store. Apparently she's done this a couple of times. And she's kind of stuck because she's like thinking about Tim, the older brother that died in the car accident. But she doesn't want to leave the store. And I feel like she's confused and disoriented and she doesn't like know what to do. And I didn't understand why all these people are just standing around staring at her as she talks. Like,
not the same thing. Oh my god. It's like, well, okay, so like in certain aspects I like of it, like people do that, like they will just stand there and watch something happen and do zero things to help this poor woman. I think she like came to the location thinking it was a location because it was probably something different when her son was alive. Like, I feel like she goes back in time and like relives that time in life. Because like just in there, she's like freaking out about the fact that what was there isn't normally there,
right?
So like where reality and her fantasy like collide into each other.
And
I was like, oh, it's like she has dementia, it feels like.
Something like that.
And I thought, I was like, why is this woman car keys or how is she able to get out of the house? I'm surprised, like,
she
are on, like, everything.
I wouldn't say it's, like, dementia. It's almost like she has, like, these manic breaks.
Yeah.
And, then she'll have, like, lucid moments. Like, so then Pacey kind of broke through to her because she was, like, emotional and, like, she was, like, agitated. Yeah. And he was like, hey, it's me, it's Pacey. Remember me? Like, he just kind of, like, lightened it up. He's just like, what are you doing? You shopping? He's like, I think I need this. And she's like, no. She's like, I have food at home. And he's like, oh, he's like, you going to make me a sandwich? And she's like, yeah, I'll make you a sandwich. And so he just kind of like takes her arm and he's able to get her out of there like nice.
I swear to God, like, I'm telling you, these episodes are like, hey, were you so sure about Pacey before? Well, you're going to fall in love with him now. You know, if you didn't think, you just thought Pacey was a pig. Ugh.
Greg was next to me and he was like, is she going to give him a blowjob now? Because he was nice to her mom. And I was like, probably.
Oh, little does he know.
I was like, they just took a purity test.
He's a classy fella.
So what else happened? Oh, so there's a scene at this party that has always made me uncomfortable, even 26 years ago when it aired. Jen being in the bedroom with the two guys, and then I was like, were they going to run a train on her? Like, she looked like she was willing, but she was also very drunk.
Yeah. My head was like literally from the beginning of the whole scenario, like when it came up with this guy and he's like, he's having the party and Chris is like, yeah, you should come to the party. It reeked of like, yo, I know this girl, you get her really, really drunk. She'll do whatever you want in bed. So you just have a party. We're going to invite her, get really drunk, get her the room, and then y'all do whatever you want. She's not going to stop because she's really blitzed. That's the whole vibe I got literally from the start. When the guys came over to the table, we're talking, invited them both. The whole nine yards. Like, it felt very set up for this situation. Obviously, don't have real, like, on-screen, like, scripted, like, admissions of, like, this is what that, but it's what the intent looked like to me. You were not comfortable? Totally same. Absolutely same.
I never did. Even 1998, it was, like, icky to me. I was just like, what is happening here?
Too drunk to consent. Like, there's you cannot consent when you're that inebriated.
Right.
At all, even if she's doing things, it doesn't matter. She's
Which not enough. She can't even deny that she was, because Dawson pulls her out of there, shirt open, and she's out on the front lawn throwing up. I laughed.
I love that.
How's that for irony? The bad girl throwing up over a white picket fence.
Hell yeah. Well, I mean, like, I loved kind of how
Dawson tried not to smirk. He was like, when she said it.
Well, like, the beginning of the episode, she screams at him, don't you judge me. Because, like, I guess that's all she ever feels with Dawson. And I don't blame her because he's a pretty judgmental guy.
Yeah.
But this whole situation, he kind of handled with, I thought, pretty well, considering, like, she's like, I don't need this. I don't need you. Like, exactly how, like, a drunk, miserable person was. But he held firm, like, and kind of like, no, you're not in a safe place. I wish he recognized, like, this is not safe. You are being unsafe. Like, I wish he had the conversation while she was sober, because drunk people aren't really, like, taking it in. And I wish he had it sooner. Then maybe things wouldn't have escalated. But, like, I thought it was hysterical. He just literally just sticks his shoulder right into her chest and flips her over. Battles down the house. I love that. It was perfect. And just literally, she just tosses her on the lawn. It's very funny because she's being crazy right now. Like,
absolutely. She's like, I was having a good time as she's like crying.
Yeah. Like, but, you know, again, we've all been there. And also, I'm like, who is buying all this alcohol? First of all these young people. Like, damn.
Jen's whole drunken plea that she was having a good time just felt like, I feel empty, I'm not worth anything, I'm just gonna get drunk to like suppress my emotions, and I'm just gonna let men do whatever they want to me because they think I'm trash anyway.
Well, yeah, she's not properly
dealing with
her like she's grieving and she's having like all of that, and on grieving the loss of a relationship, like, you know, loss of respect to her parents, like grandfather on top of it, like she really doesn't think there's anything good going on in her life. And
she says she can't go home, so Dustin's like, I know a place we could go nearby, and it's his father's. So they kind of make up. Jen is sobering up, and she asks him what his next movie's going to be, and he's thinking maybe a romance movie. And she's like, she keeps saying, don't give it a happy ending.
that's exactly what I mean. Like, she's like, happenings don't happen in relationships. And it's like, girl, you are 16. Like, I kept wanting to be like, you do understand you have like the rest of your life to live. Like, this is not it. Like, I understand. Like, I also get it, because this is like, she's angst personified, right? Like, in this scenario. But I love the line that Dawson said, like, when he was back at Joey's, he's like, he's telling Joey like what he plans. He's like, I'm gonna write a romance, you know, boy meets girl, meets boy, girl falls in love with boy, boy and girl get together, boy loses girl, but then boy gets back girl. And I was like,
but then she smiles like, maybe.
It does. And I was just like, okay, Dawson, damn. Game. And I mean, I do kind of love the idea of a romance. But oh man, that really got me. I did like totally remember that moment when you brought up the whole Jen. I was like, oh, that's right. He really did that.
So on Joey and Jack's not date, she's telling him stories, and of course all her stories involved Dawson, because that was her best friend, and she was always with him, because he even goes, ah, Dawson. And she's like, I'm sorry. She's like, he was just such a big part of my life. Like, unfortunately, most of my stories involve him.
Yeah. Well, when you grow up right there, and damn, I mean, men. I'm sorry, men. Like, all of them are like, you never had a past before me. I'm the only man you've ever known your entire life, except for your dad. And it's like, get over it.
At the end of the not date, Jack kisses her again. And she likes it. She actually smiled. Yeah. And he's like,
I don't know. Do you really think that she's into this? I feel she's kind of like, all right, whatever.
I feel like she's intrigued by it because it's somebody new paying attention to her.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like to like feel pretty and like?
Yes.
Especially at 16, yes, when you feel like you're gross.
I forget how, like, when new comes into the world, it's kind of like, it makes everything a little different. You kind of like bend your own rules for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it doesn't feel as like what I felt like she was with Dawson before they got together. It felt like Joey was pained to be around him. She felt so much love for him. And when it comes to Jake, it's just kind of like, oh, the flow. Let's okay. You know, he's cool.
Yeah.
He's
sweet. It's not angsty. It's not angsty. Not
passion. I guess maybe there's not a lot of passion behind it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of okay. You know.
Sure. Fine. Which is so unlike Joey to just be so go with the flow.
Yeah, that's why it feels a little weird. It doesn't feel like, I guess it does not feel the same. As like what, just the decision between the two.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that was it for that episode, right?
I think so. Here's the problem with my notes. Is that the first episode, chock full of notes, because I'm like super invested in making sure I write down my thoughts. And then like I get into the plot and then I stop writing notes.
And then the episode's over and you're like, crap.
Yeah. What did I think about this? Yeah, most of my takeaways from the whole episode was just kind of like, I didn't really understand like where really Joey and Dawson kind of really landed on like what the expectation was of their relationship. Like, is it only friends? Are they going to get back together? Like, I understand Joey wants to find herself, but like, it feels like they left the door cracked a bit. And that kind of threw me off on when they started like going four wins on like who they're gonna, like, Joey's taking dates, like Dawson's kind of, you know, hanging out with Jen, which never bodes well, like, kind of thing. So that's most of my biggest takeaway from it going into the next episode.
So episode 9 is titled Election, and Andy wants to run for student body president, and she wants Joey to be her running mate, and Joey's not into it at all. Abby's back with Chris and they're running together. And then there's the nerdy kid that was paired with Abby during that economics episode that's running.
Yeah, absolutely.
Abby is on a smear campaign to ruin all of the other competitors. She's really nasty to Joey. Her and Chris go to her restaurant at night when nobody's there. And she's just really rude to her. She's just like, can I get a menu without yesterday's lunch dried on it?
Makes a comment about how it's like quiet because you can come because it's always quiet here. Like, basically saying like there's nobody ever eating here, so we have privacy. And I'm just like, oh god damn, this girl needs her ass beat. Like, she just needs a fucking asshole button, like, just so badly.
So then she hears Jack like hyping Joey up about how great she is and how she should be a running mate with Andy. And so Abby pops up and she like has to like be a bitch. And I think she brings up her father being a convict. And once when I saw Joey was holding a full pitcher of water, I was like, I see where this is going. And she basically broke Joey, and Joey like threw the pitcher of water over
her. I love it when Abby gets her comeuppance. Is perfect. I don't care who it is who's doing it, it's warranted, and congratulations. I remember just like, ha, that's what you get, bitch. And you think she shut the fuck up, but she do not.
So during, I guess, the debate, she, like, ruins Andy because she, like, brings up the mother, which the town doesn't really know about, except for maybe the patrons that have seen her at the store. And she mentions how her mother, she says her mother killed her brother in a car accident. And she's like, do you really, she's like, mental illness is hereditary. She's like, do you really want that representing you? Like, she's like, even the teacher has to step in and be like, that's enough, Abby. And she's like, they should know.
She's on another level this episode. Like, she took herself in previous episodes and took it like another, like, here.
Yeah.
Like, said some of the most horrific things. Like, she's Marjorie Taylor Greene level bad. Like, she would go to a school shooting victim and tell them their fault bad. Like, say type of stuff that makes you want to beat her ass. I think the only thing I wrote about this episode was that Abby needs a severe ass whooping. Like, she needs to be beat up. Like, just straight up.
Right.
She's just going to say the wrong thing that's going to end her life. Like, one day. I feel like that's how nasty she is in the episode. It's crazy.
Speaking of bad, Dawson basically goes to Jen and is like, teach me how to be bad. There was an interesting camera shot. They were having a conversation in her bedroom as she's like going through her closet, and we were actually seeing them from the view of the closet. I thought that was an interesting way to shoot that. Because then when the scene's over, she closes the closet door, and that's how they like close the scene. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I love the cinematography of the show because they have like these great shots. Like, I was talking about when like all it was a shot of just Joey behind getting a cardigan on, and you hear a knock, and then like it pans over, and there's Dawson like perfectly silhouetted in the doorway, just like looking forlorn. Like, I love those shots. They're wonderful. Whoever's doing the cinematography this season, A+ work. I think Jen reads the script and then kind of gives him like, this is not really the life. Like, teenagers don't feel like this.
She tells him, you're too self-aware. You need to start acting like a teenager. So you, because your script sounds like it was written by like an old man.
Yeah, this episode is like literally pointing out the fact that Dawson speaks maturely, but is not actually emotionally mature as right. Like, doesn't have a range of emotions to understand.
I like when she tried to get him to cut class, and he's like, okay, you lead the way, and he like just went to class, and she was just like, she walked out and realized he wasn't following her. Or when she tried to get him to shoplift lipstick, and he was just like, oh yeah, it was great, I feel exhilarated. She's like, okay, give it to me, and he's like, no, I want to keep it. She's like, give it to me.
Yeah.
She's like, you put it back, didn't you? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was so funny. Yeah, it was good. I love those little moments, like, of her desperately trying to get him to rebel in some way, like, any way at all.
So Mitch, Gail must have called Mitch to help because the dishwasher wasn't working, and he thinks he fixed it and it didn't, and he gets sprayed and he has to take off his shirt, so he has to show off all his muscles. He's all wet. And
oh no, so wet.
Him and Gail end up like fucking, and when he first lifted her, I was like, not on the butcher block, come on.
Like, careful, you're gonna break the wine glasses. Like, that's getting old woman over here. Be careful, those glasses are expensive.
But China, that's the China. They end up on the kitchen table, and of course Dawson walks in, and he's all happy because this isn't the first time he's walked in on his parents having sex on a table. But their issue was never their sex life. They had other issues outside of their sex life.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, Dawson immediately gets the wrong idea.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the show New Girl with Zooey Deschanel? It's a comedy.
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole thing. I watched it while I was on every week.
So you know the episode, you know the Parent Trap episode where, like, Zooey, like, her parents, they're over for Thanksgiving. Her parents are there, and they start making out because she's like cleaning his like shirt because it got something on it.
Yeah,
and she's cleaning it. Start making out, and Zooey Deschanel like walks into the bathroom and she sees him and she goes like shot and then went. That's what I thought. That's how I thought when I saw Dawson keep kind of opening was.
And then he's just like, oh, okay, they're getting back together.
Everything's great. My life is better now. Like, obviously getting back together, they're having sex. Like, like, oh, poor dog.
So, what happened next? Oh, so Pacey finds Andy in the girls' room hiding in the stall having a breakdown after what Abby did to her. And he tries to talk her up, but she's like mentally broken. She's like so angry that she breaks the mirror. I don't know what she threw at the mirror, but she broke the mirror. There's a scene with Jack where he says, you've been so high and low all week. He's like, I think that it's time you get back on your meds.
Yes. That was really shocking to me. But then when I thought about it a little bit more about how she's kind of very, like, happy, like, every time we see her, she's like, but I would thought she was just kind of like a Monica Geller, you know, like, very, like, type A. Like, I'm going to do all the stuff. Stuff very organized. But this really threw me. Yeah. I did not see this coming.
So she said she was against it at first, but then we see her later crying. And she opens up the medicine cabinet and takes out a bottle that has her name on it. And we were talking about this offline. We couldn't see what it said on the bottle. So I never really thought about what she had that would require pills. I thought maybe depression, But then now, like, actually listening and hearing Jack say highs and lows, could she be bipolar?
That could, that's kind of what I thought.
And explained. That could be like lithium? Maybe that was lithium.
That or like she's just a manic depressive that like she has depression, but like it pendulum swings like mm-hmm. to another way. But
yeah.
I mean, it could also have a connection to what mom's suffering. I know it's very trauma based when her mom's suffering, but it could have a hereditary component to it that's like triggered because some schizophrenia diagnosis. This is me speaking out of my butt, by the way. I don't know anything about it, but this is just what I know.
I'm sometimes sure they say it at some point. I just never.
Yeah, really things can surface. Some surface as you age, like you, like you don't really have any symptoms of it until like later on in life. So like, I don't know. Like I wanted to know to kind of get an idea of what you're dealing with.
Yeah. But
like that, and the phone call while she's opening, like with Pacey, like just was really, it was like heartbreaking to listen to her because obviously crying, her face is all puffy and.
When she took the pills and she was like, I'll be good as new tomorrow. I'm like, that's not really how medication works. It usually takes like 3 weeks in your system before it starts working. Right. Like, I'm like, but all right, we'll go with this for the story, even though it's not accurate. But
it's kind of like saying like, oh, I'll have my mask on tomorrow.
Yeah,
I will be rested and be able to kind of do whatever performative dance I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
To get through the day, and it just kind of it put another layer to Andy that was nice to see because she felt very much like this one note person, but now like not only with the mom thing, but
well, she seemed like somebody that was juggling a lot. Like she's trying to be the perfect daughter, straight A student, juggle the mom, but also kind of embarrassed about the mom, so she's trying to hide that so she's not like the town gossip. She was taking on a lot, but so I missed the part that kind of led to her taking the pills was there was like one last, like, I guess, closing arguments for why these people should be president. And Abby did her thing where she like shredded everybody and Abby just couldn't make an argument and she like ran out. But Pacey fights with Abby and he puts the microphone on. And he basically gets her to tell the whole school that he thinks that they're all idiots, that she thinks that they're all idiots, and that she's only with Chris and she can have all the power and run the school. And he's just like, oh yeah, I'm such an idiot. I accidentally pressed this button and you just told the whole school what you think of them. And he told the nerdy guy, he's like, congratulations.
I love that. I'll tell you what, they must have not had a good actual clean shot of Joshua Jackson being slyly touching the mic, because like when I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, oh, he's literally, he goes like to touch the mic and goes, oh, Abby.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. But they must have tried. It must have been really awkward the way the set was or whatever, but it was just perfect. Like chef kiss ending.
Or maybe they were just trying to make it obvious to us so we could see that that's what he was doing.
It's kind of a magician showing his hands a little bit, like kind of situation. I have this under here. But I thought that, like, I loved it. It was vindicating because Abby was being literally the worst human being that's ever walked the planet this episode.
Yeah.
Poor Andy getting it. And I love to see just doling out that revenge, right? Nice and clean, real easy. Boom, right then and there.
So Dawson comes home and finds his mom crying and like deep cleaning the house. And he's like, what's wrong? And he sees papers on the table and it's divorce papers that apparently she says, your father had me served today. But she's like, no, I'm good with it. She's like, we talked about this. We agreed on but you know, that's still a loss. Like you're obviously going to be sad about that. So now Dawson, this is when Dawson goes running back to Jen. He's like, okay, this time for real, I want to be bad. Teach me how to be bad. He's like, I'll be your sponsor or you could be my sponsor.
Yeah.
So they go, like, they TP somebody's house and then she gets them to go skinny dipping. I had very, like, roller coastery emotions during this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because they looked visually good, naked, swimming together. And then he kissed her, and then she pulled away, and she was like, "Oh, crossing the line." He's like, "What line?" And he's like, "I thought I'm supposed to be free and do whatever I want." And she kind of flips it on him and says, "I'm taking a page out of your book." And she's like, "I just want to be friends."
Yeah, they're kind of, to be honest, they kind of need to act like each other a little bit. You know, like, yeah. Dawson needs to loosen up, have a little bit more fun, experience things in his life, and Jen needs to experience less a little. Like, kind of, yeah. Like, be more observant, be more forethought, be a little bit more perspective, like, do things that, you know, are the what would be morally right in some way. Like, not saying that, like, is more wrong, but, like, be safer with yourself. Like, how Dawson plays it safe. He plays it very safe, clean, to the chest kind of thing. Not very adventurous person.
But then she also asks, "Have you ever dreamed about me?" And he's like, "You answer first." Yeah. He's like, "Maybe." And she's like waking up, she's like, "Have you ever dreamed about me?" Like, oh, he said, "I dream about everybody I know." He's like, I'm a director, I'm a writer." And she's like, "No, like waking up, pitching a tent, like dreamed about me." And I'm like, "You used to be one of your friends, but now you want to know if you make him horny?" Like, what?
Right. I feel like there was a moment where she wasn't 100% sure, like, what she really wanted out of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when he actually, like, had to care, like, it kind of came into clarity. Like, oh no, we need to be friends.
It's interesting, like, because her teaching him how to be bad is actually keeping her sober.
right. I mean, like, she, you know what it is? She just needs a genuine friend that's going to, like, hang out with her and do stuff. And, like, not, that's not destructive.
That's not Abby.
Yeah, that's not Abby or Chris that just wants to bang. You know what I mean? Like, she needs a good support system. It's kind of, she's pacey in a weird way. She's like, she doesn't have anything else around her. Grandma's there, but her grandma can't be there, like, how friends can. She needs good friends, like, legit friends in her life. They care about her. And if they were, then she'd be fine, I feel like, because she doesn't get into trouble unless she's, like, involved with somebody that is not a good a good person that just wants to take advantage of her. She needs to recognize that. And then, you know, and Dawson's someone that won't take advantage of anyone at any time for any reason, which is a good thing about him, but that stops him from literally doing anything. He's too scaredy cat.
So, oh, I lost my train of thought. Oh, Joey. So Jack kind of pushes Joey away after the whole Abby revealing everything to the whole school about his family. And they kind of come together, and he's like, sorry. He's like, I kind of go into autopilot when it comes to my family. He's like, I wasn't pushing you away. And he's like, this is why. He's like, whenever you ask me a question, he's like, I just feel like I have to, my dad's not around. I just have to be, like, the man of the house and just, like, man up and, like, protect everybody from everything. And I thought it was interesting how she worded this, considering the conversation they had on their not date in the last episode. But she mentioned, like, when her mother was dying, how she said I had a friend. She didn't say Dawson, but we know she's talking about Dawson. I had a friend that used to sit with me. Who else would it be? She had one friend.
Take him, like, toward the end of the speech, like, she's like, and then he held my hand, and it's like, okay, it's Dawson. We're talking about Dawson. Dawson.
So she holds Jack's hand, and that's where we leave them. But then I think I may have said things out of order. I don't think Dawson ran to Jen to said teach me how to be a good because he found out about the divorce, because the last scene, he says, my parents are getting divorced. And then he, like, sits on the floor with Jen in Graham's kitchen.
Oh, okay. So this is what happened. So he sees Mitch again after he discovers they had sex. He bumps into Mitch and he's like, hey, Mitch, when are you guys getting back together? And he's like, oh, that's not happening. And he's like, we just kind of, like, fell into it again because that's what we always did. Never for in like a fucking.
Which I thought was a weird conversation to have with your 15-year-old son, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, Mitch is in the office, I guess. He's like kind of like, whatever, we have to lose him. I'm gonna try to tell his kid every intimate story of my life. But like, so when Dawson puts that together that his parents aren't getting back together, which is like really sucky. He like then runs to Jen and says like, obviously I'm not emotionally mature. Like, so I am emotionally a teen. Like I still am a teen. I may talk like an adult, but I definitely am a teen because I'm under the assumption that my parents were just going to be fine because they had sex, you know, because sex was like the ultimate thing. And it's when, and then the scene you're talking about happens after Gail tells him she's been served by Mitch.
Right.
And then she vacuums the window. That would be great.
I know. There was logistical like things I was having with the way she was cleaning, because she's like, there's dust bunnies all over this door frame. And she's like, dusting it. And then she's vacuuming. I'm like, how could they still be there? You just scrubbed it. Like,
so, like, it just goes to show, like, she's obviously not okay. Like, she's putting on a good front, mm-hmm. like, by distracting herself. But the fact that she's beaming window is, like, a dead giveaway that she's not okay.
Yeah. It's almost like that episode from last time where she was, like, crying, but she was cutting onions and she was, like, blaming it on the onions and she wouldn't turn around.
Right. And, like, yeah, and, like, wouldn't turn around. Talk to him, yeah. And like you could hear like it choking up her voice. That, like, I'm fine, just go, please just go to the dance so I can cry in peace without you here. And you know, my heart goes out to Gail.
Yeah, who would have thought after
I mean, this whole thing is like, you can't punish someone forever. That's my beef with Mitch. It's kind of like, this decision, it's a hard one, but if that was never going to be a situation where he could trust her again, then that's what had to be done. You can't dangle the relationship out forever and end up being resentment between two of you and end up hating each other. At least this way, they can still have like some level of co-parenting relationship with her son and then eventually move on with their lives. It just sucks. Like, a lot. Like, I think I wrote down, like, this episode, everybody's going through it. Like, Andy's going through it. Gail's going through it. Mitch is going through it. Like, Dawson's going through it. Jen's going through it with Dawson going through it. Like, they're all just having the worst day.
So Dawson's like, as my sponsor, he's like, how should I react to this? He's like, should I like react logistically, like with my head or with my heart? And she's like, well, what always wins out? And obviously it's his heart. And he breaks down crying. And she like comforts him on the floor. And he's like, thanks for being there. And she's like, thanks for letting me. And that's how the episode ends, with them consoling each other, or her consoling him.
It's wild with Jen, because like, I always feel like I really do like her as a character, but like, she's so human. I guess that's really what it comes down to, that she's just, and she's also, again, 16. I keep trying to remember, but these are not adults. These are 16-year-old kids.
Yeah.
That brains are fully upset. So they're going to make some dumb stories. Every time. And that's we're learning.
Well, we're 9 episodes into season 2. How are you feeling? We're almost halfway through. Well, the season.
I'll tell you what. It feels like so much is happening, and I have zero idea where they're going. Like, normally, I feel like a lot more stuff is drawn out. I'm wondering if this is going to be a will they, won't they with Joey and Dawson for absolutely ever. and I'm just like, this is like Friends, you know, like I feel like this is like a lot of these episodes felt very like Friends-like because Andy is like such a Monica Geller. It's not even funny. And like, just so like, get them to do the things and at the time. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, oh my God. And then like the fact that like Joey and Dawson just kept with the push and pull. It's like, oh my God. Like, but I mean, I'm here for the ride, man. But it's like, I got nothing. All my predictions have nothing has come to fruition. Got nothing here.
Well, next week we're only going to do 2 episodes because it's a 2-parter. Okay. So I feel like we should like focus on this like one story over the course of 2 episodes.
Absolutely. Okay.
I feel like they're pretty important episodes to the season, so should be interesting. You're like, after I just said everything's happening so fast, more fast things are going to happen.
More things? Like, what other things can happen? I mean, like, it just feels like the year is going by so slowly, but, like, in their time, like, their school year is going by, like, day, like, each episode feels like its own, day of the week. And I'm kind of like, so many things are happening from 1 minute to the other. Like, relationships have built up and crashed. Moon, sun, and stars have came, birth, and died before, like, time, like, you know.
It's only been a week.
Like, yeah, it's only been a week, 7 days. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, Andy's in love with Casey. Andy's got medications he should be on. And then, like, now, like, Joey is exploring her life with Jack. And then Dawson is just trying to figure out how to be a teen. Like, it's just kind of like,
yeah.
But again, I got nothing. Normally, I can at least try to figure out where I think they're going. Not every time I think they're going to go one way, they're like, no.
All right. Well, I'm glad because it keeps it interesting.
It sure do. I haven't seen it.
All right. Well, I'll wrap this up. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Queers and Soaps, Dawson's Creek. As always, you can find us on all the socials at Queers and Soaps. And until next time, have a great night. Bye.